Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And I thank God that He is. This is a good day that the Lord has made. And He's mightily moving in it. And it's a blessed day. And it's another day to do the will of God. The Lord told me once that every day there are golden opportunities. Every day. You have golden opportunities. And when you need something, a lot of times we ask God for things that we need. But every day there's an opportunity if you'll take it for yourself. It can be a scripture. You can read a scripture and have a turning point in your life. You can be a blessing to the right person. But if you're going about doing good as a way of life, you're more prone to run into your golden opportunities. And it's possible to enjoy them every day. They're there, you know. At the right time, the Lord told my pastor to speak to the mountain. He said he was coming down Minor Parkway, and the land next to the church belonged to the church. And he said, speak to the mountain. He said, what are you talking about? And the Lord told him, he said, sell the dirt. So he had a sign made, and I helped make it, but it said dirt for sale. And he sold $200,000 worth of dirt. It was red clay, and it was high quality dirt. And contractors bought it when they were doing building projects. You know, they built a school that year and the other things. They needed that kind of dirt. You can't just go get it wherever, you have to buy it, you know, from somebody that has the land. But who would have thought, you know, that was a golden opportunity, you know. And there are many. And the Lord can relay those kind of things to people who trust Him as a way of life. People that are immature would have did immature things if God exposed their golden opportunities. So maturity is a very important part. That's really not what the Lord put on my heart to talk about. But I just kind of went on that rabbit trail. Maturity is very important. If you spend time, if your heart is set, if you're balanced, you know, in according to the definition of God's definition of balance. And I read it because it's so rich. We need to be balanced, not just for the blessings and the goods, but to be a blessing. See, when you're balanced, the right you'll talk to people when you should. You know, the Lord said balance is determined sincerity to the love of God, the holiness of God, and the wisdom of God, saith the Lord. Perfect balance is relentless sincerity. It's steadfast and unmovable and never changes. Proud men can never be balanced. You see that? Proud men, people who put themselves first as a way of life. But a proud man can never be balanced. They love pride. They serve pride. Some people are not fully proud. They may be shy, which is a version of it. But a proud man can never be balanced, value it or appreciate it. They are enemies to my balance, saith the Lord. Their focus is within. And it is a worldly view. Their focus is what I can do, what I can accomplish. They're not looking to God like the fake scientist. They try to use God's creation to prove that He don't exist. And they preach a false narrative. Even though they learn things that's valuable. But when you try to push God out of the equation, you just, you know, you blew it. You're not reading the mail. Everything God did, you can learn, it points to Him. It's impossible to use His creation to disprove Him. So they become like the Ouroboros. The serpent that eats his own tail. Now, today is Friday. It's the 13th of May, 2022. But it's a blessed day. And I thank God for the golden opportunities of this day. And I'm going to serve the Lord in this day. This day that the Lord has made. Now, the Lord had me to deal with some things this week. I love the broadcast he gave me this week. I listened to him. I always listen to him for quite and make sure everything come out like it should. And my wife listened to the one I did yesterday. And it's, you know, it's a blessing. Is what God is giving is the blessing. I didn't come up with this stuff. God did. He pointed me in the direction to go in, and I went there. Yesterday's broadcast is titled Unleavened Love. And it shows how it's reasonable to present yourself to the Lord a living sacrifice, not allowing the filth of this world to contaminate you. Because when it do, anything of Satan, it will hinder you from going forward. Paul said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. So some things that's a weight is not sin. Let us lay it aside and serve the Lord unrestricted and be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the works of the Lord. Very important. So as we go forward in the things of God, learning his ways, learning his will, understanding what he's saying, we, you know, that's a balanced life, and God can easily bless people who are balanced and mature. But the opposite is true. The those that sin as a way of life, they do things that's detrimental. When the Lord called everybody to the wedding, the man called all of his friends, and they all had excuses in the parable Jesus gave about the wedding supper. They had excuses, but then he went out to the highways and hedges and got whoever would show up. And that's how the kingdom of God is. God is reaching out to people, but because the world has influence in people, they make excuses. They take lightly the things that should be important. You know, if your best friend's daughter's getting married and they invite you to the wedding, you got to stop what you're doing and go. That's just the way it is. But they had excuses. And just like people have excuses when it's time to go to think about the things of God, the world has a tug on them. And they can't go beyond, you know, the enemy. The more you involve yourself in the world, the more reluctant you'll be against God. And we pointed that out in yesterday's broadcast. So people want Jesus on their terms. They want to make him an icon, you know, so to speak. A God in their that they can control. But Jesus is Jesus. And if you want to find Jesus, you got to look at what he said. And everything he said had a purpose. Now, what I want to point out today, what the Lord put on my heart to point out today, is the danger of sin. Why does the Lord hate sin so much? What sin contaminates everything. And it turns, can turn heaven into a ghetto. A place where there's nothing nice if it goes unchecked. The Lord puts things in motion that should be in motion. And today he gave me Jeremiah chapter 8. Now this is a very interesting chapter. Jeremiah chapter 8. He said, at that time, saith the Lord, they shall bring out the bones of the kings of Judah, and the bones of his princes, and the bones of the priests, and the bones of the prophets, and the bones of the inhabitants of Judah, Jerusalem, out of their graves. And they shall spread them before the sun and the moon and the host of heaven, whom they have loved, in whom they have served, and after whom they have walked, in whom they have sought, in whom they have worshipped. They shall not be gathered nor buried. They shall be for waste or dung on the face of the earth. And death shall be chosen rather than life by all the residue of them that remain of this evil family. You see that in that verse 3 is very interesting. Death shall be chosen rather than life by all the residue of them that remain of this evil family, which remain in all the places where I have driven them, saith the Lord. In other words, the people who are the descendants of those who worshipped, who walked according to the evil way. It says, and they shall spread them before the sun, the moon, and all the host of heaven, whom they have loved. All right, they was worshiping the sun, the moon, and the stars in heaven, the host of heaven. A false doctrine, after whom they walked, whom they sought. You know, they went after divination instead of the covenants of God, and whom they have worshipped. They shall not be gathered nor buried, saith the Lord. They shall not be gathered nor buried, and they shall be for dung upon the face of the earth. All right. And death shall be chosen rather than life by the residue of them that remain of this evil family, which remain in all the places where I have driven them, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, the Jews were scattered, of course, by the king, you know, taken captive by the king of Assyria. Later on, about 100 years later, by Nebuchadnezzar. And they never went back to their land. So the residue of them that remain of this evil family, which remain in all the places where I've driven them. See, God driven them. God knows where they are. And they're driven wherever they are. But those who were indoctrinated by their ancestors in this evil, they won't have a mind to come back to God. They would choose death rather than life. This is the power of sin itself, if you let it go unchecked. If you allow your children to do things that's wrong and say nothing about it, then the sin can harden their heart and they may not come back. When they're young, while they're under your roof, before they go out on their own, you have to train them in the way that they should go. And you have to live the standards of God before them. And it works. Solomon wrote this when in the Proverbs it's written that train up a child in the way he should go. When he's more mature, he'll leave those principles. He'll return. But if sin hardens a person's heart, even if they was raised right, if they was raised good, I'll say that, if they were raised decently, some people raise that, they don't train them up in the way they should go. They were decent parents and they did the best they knew, but they didn't know the Lord, so they couldn't train them up in the way that they should go. They didn't know the Lord. If you don't know the Lord, how can you train them up? You can help them be a decent person. But guess what? There's an evil world out there. All right. So let's put it this way. Let's say you're balanced. You live a balanced life. You love God. You keep God first in your life. You don't do things on your own without Him. You obey Proverbs 3. And you do things that's right. And the Lord can work with you and teach you and train you. Well, those children will be trained properly. They'll grow from glory to glory. They know what to watch out for. Because there are people much more evil than you are, and they have children. And your child will go down the street and play with them, want to spend the night, you know, so on and so forth. So you have to be wise. You have to prepare them first while their heart is soft. Because once a person's heart gets hard, then the enemy can get them into much worse depths of destruction. And sin always hardens the heart. And the first thing on the agenda is severing any possible relationship with God. Satan wants the heart, and he don't want you to know him. That's just the way it is. Now, Satan is full of evil strategy, and he watches how we do things. He watches our ways to see where our weaknesses are. So we need to be putting our face towards God. You know, let's look at Proverbs 3 since I brought it up. See, the Lord told me years ago that the biggest problems in the church is that his people don't follow him. So the Lord had me to share this message with people. And I tried to find the people that would love God the most. See, if you show a person that's indoctrinated and they won't budge, then you're wasting time. But people that love God and preach his word, and they, you know, people that preach faith, people of that caliber are more apt to do the things of God. But sad to say, and when the Lord gave me that assignment, most people didn't follow through with it, not to God's, not to his specifications. Now I'm going to read to you God's specifications of following God. Very simple, but you'll be surprised how people receive things. He says in verse 5, trust, that's the first word, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. If a person just did that, they'll miss out on a whole lot of satanic problems. Then he said, in all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Now, my pastor years ago said the word shall is stronger than will. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. He shall direct thy path. Then watch verse 7. Here's the interesting part. Be not wise in thine own eyes. You would think that's easy to do. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. The problem is in culture. See, God told Abraham to leave his country, his kindred, and his father's house. Go to a land I will show you. That's something we all, it's the same thing. Our focus is still on the Lord. Abraham's focus was on what God was going to show him, not his culture. See, the wisdom of our own eyes, our own wisdom, that's culture. That we didn't get that from God. Not unless you study the word more than you watch TV, radio, and listen to people. Which is not true. Is it? You got hours and hours and hours of input. You know, Perry Stone said he got over so many 100,000 hours worth of study time. Yeah. And he's a preacher to me that stays balanced in his ways. Even when if he's wrong, he'll say he was wrong. If he says something wrong, he'll admit it. He's striving for balance. And he puts time in with the Lord. And the Lord graces him for it. See, you got to do something that God can use. You got to yield to the Lord and not be hard-headed. Henry Gruber obeyed God. Wherever he wanted him to go, he'd go. He set himself up to obey God. Kenneth Hagin sought after God. And when God corrected him or showed him something new, he grabbed a hold to it. He didn't worry about culture. That's what set these three men apart. You have to break through culture, the culture of your country, the culture of your kindred, the people, which includes the people that you're around every day, and the culture of your father's house. Even if they're good, you got to break through their negatives. But you see in chapter 8, in verse 3 in Jeremiah, these folks are dead and buried. They got to dig their bones up because they were so sorry. And they drove Israel off the cliff, got them scattered in every nation, in the surrounding nations. And it's listed in Isaiah 11 where they are. But the residue of their descendants are just like they were. And what they did didn't work. Why would you trust somebody that fell off the cliff as if they did good? They caused the whole country to be scattered abroad, and you still giving credibility to their dead doctrine. That's wrong. Now, sometimes people will, let's look at verse 5 again. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Most people don't do that. I just want to be honest. Most people will not do that. They'll agree with the scripture, but in life they do something different. They lean to their own understanding, and they try their own will out. They crash, then they seek the Lord. They do it backwards. I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is. Let's put it this way. All right. We learn about faith. We learn about authority. We got something. We learn that God loves us. We receive salvation. We grow. We come to understanding. But being skilled in warfare, I'm just going to, just warfare. Even though a person got authority, they may not be skilled in warfare. A policeman has authority, but if he gets raided by, let's say, somebody as skilled as Mossad or Special Forces, he's outclassed. He can shoot, he can hit a target and not miss, but he was not trained in Special Force combat, is he? So, if he's going to win like David did, he's got to look to God. If he can be yielded to God and obey God, he can outclass them. As long as he's looking to the Lord, like David did. There is nothing under Satan's control, no matter how skilled they are, that can defeat you if you keep your eyes on the Lord. Now, you can't see God literally, but if God can tell you what to do and you trust him with all your heart, you will promptly obey him. See, obedience, my newest definition that he gave me for obedience is prompt faithfulness. You will be prompt to be faithful. You will be quick to adjust to the perfect will of God. And when the Lord tells you something, the Holy Spirit can tell you things and show you things, give you visions of truth. It's not always pleasant. It's not always what you wanted to know, but it's important that you know it. You know, I gave an example a few broadcasts ago about, that was a preacher that I love and care about. We were friends, but he didn't want me to preach. And the Lord revealed it to me. So because he's my friend, I told him what I dreamt. And he said, you didn't preach either, did you? It was real. So whatever the Lord tell you, whether it's positive or negative, in your opinion, you got to run with it. It's real. You got to make adjustments. The Lord taught me how to fight Satan. I asked when he would almost win, or if I fail somewhere, if things got to me more than it should, I would ask the Lord, how did this happen? and the Lord would teach me. Now, it was many times he did this. So instead of being like the policeman that has the authority to stop traffic and direct people and put people in jail, because I paid attention to the Lord, I became skilled, more skilled than I was. Now, as we get to the last days, it's like Pastor said years ago, the closer we get to Christ's return, the closer we get to the kingdom of darkness. The fight gets more intense. It's to be understood. And Satan, he loves surprises. He'll tempt people. Now, this is one tactic the Lord showed me. He'll give you a thought. If it goes unchecked, he'll leave it there and hope that it'll grow roots in you. Then when he in his mind think that you're weak enough, he'll set you up to fall. But the temptation started months earlier. And then when he thinks that you're okay with it, that he's got enough place in you to resist God, he'll attack you all at once. All at once, things will just start happening to tempt you out of God's will. But when I feel outclassed, the first thing, I take authority the best I know, and then I ask the Lord to help me. See, he didn't count on that. And when I did this, the Lord made a way of escape. Then, the next day, I said, Lord, that was too close. How did this happen? Then he showed me what happened months ago. So I started using the shield of faith. Every thought that come, every time I get an evil thought, I use the shield of faith. This is how I do it. I speak. I say, that temptation or whatever it is, it could be anger, it could be anything that's not of God. I say, I hate that in Jesus' name. I hate that sin, or I hate that temptation. I will not be lazy, even laziness. I curse laziness. I will not be lazy, not before my King. I will do all this in his heart. You know, you have to use the shield of faith and speak things so that you can be adjustable. Now, it's too close. I may have to make a Rebecca choice. And see, the thing about a Rebecca choice, you might not, sometimes it's a once in a lifetime opportunity. It's a golden opportunity that only comes once. If Rebecca said no, she wouldn't go with the servant of Abraham. She would not have married Isaac. But God needed somebody that would break through. I'm going to say that again. God needed Isaac's wife to be somebody that would break through. Not just could break through, but would break through. Because that wasn't the first time she made her first Rebecca choice when she went with the servant. And she made other Rebecca choices along the course of her life. But the major Rebecca choice, the most pivotal Rebecca choice, is when she deceived Isaac and had him bless Jacob. She did what must be done. Because he was set to give the blessing of Abraham to Esau, a staunch enemy of Israel. You understand this. Amalek is a descendant of Esau. And they were their worst enemy. They didn't need to be in the lineage. Her most pivotal Rebecca choice was when she deceived Isaac into blessing Jacob. The right man got blessed. And it blessed everything. It blessed all of us. Now, see, in warfare, you have to deceive your enemy. You have to make them believe something else. And you have to kill your enemy. But she did what must be done. We have to, when we follow God, we have to be adjustable to him. So that we won't, our wisdom is not enough. You may have faith. You may have authority. And the blessings of God is on you, but you still got to surrender to him. If you can be perfectly adjustable to the Holy Spirit. If you can trust him with all your heart, then that means there's no darkness in you that can turn you about. You won't be like the people that seem to be swimming free, but they don't swallow the hook and the bait, but they just swimming fast as they want to on a loose line. They don't know that they caught. Then it's time to make that Rebecca choice. Satan tug, he set the hook. And they can't go, and they're not balanced enough to go forward. So from our point of view, we may look totally victorious. In the eyes of man, yes. In my eyes, I couldn't find a flaw with none of the preachers I went with. I gave these messages to. But that was something greater. And God needed their attention, and he didn't have it. Now, they were caught up in doing it the way that others do it, but that won't work for you. You got to stay in the face of God. See, some prophets know they can receive a prophecy. But Moses knew God face to face. The only way you're going to know what God is doing is to stay in his face. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct that. That's not happening, folks. People are not doing that. And then verse 7, they're doing the opposite. They're wise in their own eyes and not the fear of the Lord. When you're wise, when you fear the Lord, you hate evil. Some people have left things unchecked. But nobody can tell until it's too late. See, when you don't make that Rebecca choice, nobody can tell that either. Not even you. You don't know what you missed. So the pastors that God was trying to get on board, they don't know what they missed. Consider these things. I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll be with you and teach you all day long. Till next time, remember, I love you, God. Truly.